What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall.
Oh, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We got a chance of showers. Well, actually, where I'm living, it's raining every day. Every day. I tell you, I got mushrooms growing on my head over here. It rains a lot where I live, but that's okay. I think it's similar weather to Seattle, Washington, in this region where I'm at in France. And boy, oh boy, I tell you, everything's a lake over here. But we've been talking to my guest, Eric Hufschmidt, and he's been talking to me about some of the deceptions out there. And Eric, why is it so important that we don't mix quality information with the nonsense? A lot of people seem, well, he tells me some of the truth, so why is it so important that we don't mix nonsense with real important information?
Well, I would say there's two main reasons. The first is when you tell somebody new to this whole subject about this information, and you send them over to a certain website where this stuff is mixed with nonsense, you can't tell an ordinary person, well, go over to this website. It has some good information about 9/11, but just pick out the junk. I mean, they're going to think, which is the junk, first of all, and then they're going to think, why should I, second of all. And so you can't send an ordinary person to it. And if they look on the Internet, that's most likely what they're going to find. They're going to find the sites that are mixing the stupid stuff with the truth. And they're just going to walk away. Because I can remember the first time I ever went to one of those sites and I saw all the UFO stuff on it. This is before way back when, right when the attack happened, I remember looking at some of these sites and thinking, what is this? These people are nuts. And I left the site. And there could have been a lot of good information there, but I just remember seeing, aliens are abducting people, there's crop circles, and I just thought, oh, this is stupid.
And you made an analogy, a restaurant analogy that cracked me up. You want to give my listeners your restaurant analogy?
Well, yeah, to go to a site that's got junk all over it, and with this attitude, like, well, just pull out the junk. That's like going into a restaurant, the waiter brings you a bowl of soup, and you got some dead flies and maggots swimming around in it. And you say, well, if the soup tastes good, here, just pick out the maggots. I mean, who wants to do that? Nobody would tolerate that with a restaurant. And that's why no restaurant does this. But imagine if people actually did that at restaurants. Then you'd get people serving stale food and junk food and all kinds of horrible food. And people would just, well, just pick out the garbage. Pick out the rotten stuff. Don't worry about that. It's because we demand higher standards from restaurants that we get better food. And the same has to be true of our leadership and our media and the websites. We have to tell them, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to support this kind of nonsense. And that would raise the standards. That would force everybody who doesn't do a better job to either get out of the business or, they have no choice. They're going to go bankrupt.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The other day on Coast to Coast, we got a psychic saying that she was convinced that the 12 miners were alive, and she's saying there on the air, I see them alive, and the media had just reported that they were all alive. So, and she's saying, and I can tell you they're going to be fine, and I psychically tell you that this and that, and then all of a sudden, on the AP wire, it comes out that 12 of them out of the 13 are dead. And she immediately says, but now I'm getting a new vision. The new vision is that they're all dead. And she does this. She switches on a dime based upon the AP report. And according to what was written, the people on that were listening flipped out. I mean, they were like, what the heck kind of crap is this? I'm like, can you imagine this stuff? And, of course, it should be obvious to people that that's nonsense. How can people be so lost, Eric?
This is what I can't figure out, because if you look at the Republican Party, they've got a leader there who nobody would hire for hardly anything. They got basically a moron. The Democrats have, first of all, they had Howard Dean, then John Kerry just pops up from nowhere and they don't even notice anything strange. The people have the worst. They are so bad at selecting leaders. And then you look at these so-called 9/11 truth groups and all these other organizations on the Internet. Who are they promoting all over the Internet? People like Carl Schwartz or Tom Flacco or you know, the stupidest things, the UFO Disclosure Project, it's the same thing. It's the same stupid leadership, the same inability to figure out who to listen to, who has got something to say, and what is wrong with these people, I don't know. But
well, see, with Flacco, for example, you got to pick the maggots out of his soup. I mean, this guy's stuff is just full of hooey. If you believed him, you know, George Bush was already be in jail if he was being honest.
And yeah,
32 indictments were being handed down, according to him, back in August. Olson was found, you know.
She's in jail.
She's already in jail, and all this nonsense, and yet this guy is still getting 2,000-4,000 people a day at his website.
This
is
what I mean.
What is wrong with their brains?
This is what one of the problems. And, you know, one of the things I noticed when I was listening to the Carl Schwartz interview with that's right now it's at that Peering into Darkness. What it reminds me of somebody that I personally knew and had to work with for a bit, who had, I don't know what you call it, a certain type of mental disorder. And it could be the same thing that Carl is suffering from, because the person I knew, his name was Bob, and everything he told you was true in his mind. He was basically a failure in life, but he was always working on something. And for example, when in 1990, around that year, some company came up with the idea of replacing those old-fashioned court reporting machines that people type into.
Stenographer machines.
Right. Yeah, so this company was thinking, you know, that's old-fashioned. Let's replace that with microphones at different places in the courtroom, and they'll go to a computer which then records the audio, and then they have the audio not just from, you know, from each person, the lawyers, the defendants, and then it's all recorded, and they don't need this person typing. And so Bob hears about this and thinks, wow, I'd like to do it. So now he's an entrepreneur. He's got this idea in his mind. He's going to do it. He just needs some funding. And he himself has no technical skills, so he's going to get the funding, hire the people. And so he called a couple courts down in Los Angeles and said, would you like a system like that? And they said, well, when you got it developed, sure, we'll look at it. And then he started talking to some people with money. Would you like to fund it? So now, when he was talking to people, he would say to them, I'm developing a court reporting system. I'm in the process of negotiating for financing, and then we're developing this big system. It's going to take over the whole court system, completely get rid of those stenographers. And you would never realize it's all in his imagination. He had nothing. His company was basically just him and his answering machine. And the way you would notice there's something wrong is that he only talks about what's coming up, not what he already did. And I see Carl Schwartz is the same thing. Oh, I'm talking to WorldCom. We're going to buy WorldCom, or we're going to fund this project for $50 million. But anybody can call up WorldCom, talk to the receptionist, you know, say, how much does it cost to buy WorldCom? She might say, oh, about $50 billion. Then he can go talk to someone else. Hey, can you loan me $50 billion? And they'll say no. And then he'll say to people, well, I'm in the process of looking for funding. We're going to buy WorldCom. And to me, what this is a sign of is mental illness. And the Bob person I knew, he couldn't write. He couldn't put sentences together. And you look at Carl Schwartz, it's the same thing.
Well, the nonsense that he writes and the way he writes is a very particular style. And it's some of the poorest writing I have ever witnessed. And the fact is, there is somebody else that also writes with the exact same syntax problems and the exact same stuff, and even quotes from each other. And his name is John Carlson. And we suspect they may be, in fact, the same person.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll maybe explore that a little bit and see if we can suss out that question and many, many others when we return on The French Connection. Do, ladies and gentlemen, we got my friends on you. We are back with Daryl Bradford Smith, French Connection. IamTheWitness.com is the website. Huge questions and hugequestions.com is Eric's website. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, deception on the internet is going to stop us from having any effect on these people, and that's why it is so imperative that we find solutions and find culprits and find reasons to start weeding out these problems, because we will never get traction in our battle against these Zionists unless and until we can start weeding out these numbskulls. Now, we've got a guy down in Australia, I think, named Holmgren, who is promoting, among other things, he was a big promoter of hologram theory until that was fully discredited by the French Connection, and he and Blimpy Dave ran for the hills, and then he claimed that he didn't believe in that. Now he's got some other numbskull idea. Here's the problem with Mr. Holmgren. He's an extraordinarily gifted writer, and he's quite persuasive on paper. And so when you get a good writer spinning a yarn of this type, you're going to sucker in a lot of people who may or may not be capable of discerning or sifting through the nonsense. What's your take on that, Eric?
Well, actually, Holmgren is even more clever than that. What he does is he's got some very good articles about the attack on the Pentagon. And so if you start by looking at only those articles, you're going to come away thinking, wow, this guy's intelligent, he's researched things very well, and you don't realize that then after you're hooked, after you're thinking, wow, this guy's really brilliant, then he gives you these articles about the World Trade Center. And then you hear about, well, those airplanes that hit the towers, you know, they may not have been airplanes. Maybe they were holograms, or maybe they were edited by the news crews at the studio. Well, now that those theories are kind of like not catching anybody, now he's saying, well, okay, they were airplanes, but, you know, where are the wingtips? The wingtips, I don't see any wingtips on the ground. Well, you know, you look on the ground, of course you don't see wingtips. They pulled the rubble away, threw it away. You don't see much of anything of the rubble. So, but what it is he leads you in with these articles about the Pentagon, which are very intelligent. And then after he's got you, you know, it's like catching a fish. After he's got you on his hook, then he says, yeah, now take a look at this Pentagon, that's the World Trade Center. And then you start thinking, well, yeah, he's right about the Pentagon, so he's a brilliant guy. He must be correct here, too.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and it fools people. What you don't realize, you have to look overall, what has this person done? They don't do this ever with anything, with politics. You never see any kind of analysis of who are these people. You know, about business, we'll give more of an interview to a person who's hiring just for a regular job than we give to people in leadership positions.
You're right. You know, Eric, you're absolutely right. We've got a call coming in from Chicago. Chris from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is, what do you believe is the motivation of the Zionists at the very top? Are they trying to fulfill the prophecies by creating the State of Israel and one world government and control of the international political system?
Well, I believe it's power. I don't believe it's religion. I believe it is, they use religion and they use their the divisions that they can create within religion to their advantage. But I believe it's about control. I believe it's about elitism. I believe it's about power. And I believe it is a long-standing and long-fashioned attempt at a domination that will be irreversible once it is in place. I don't know what you think, Eric.
Well, I think it's hard to figure out, partly because we don't know exactly who they are, but I think it's also because there's a bigger, it's more than one person, so I don't think they all are agreeing exactly on what to do. You know,
what do you think their goals are? Their goals are power and control.
Well, basically, clearly, control of the planet is what I would say ultimately
end?
Is their fantasy.
Yeah.
Not just
what end is the issue.
I would say the ultimate end for the people is they're hoping to get the whole world, is what I would think.
Well, why would anybody, I mean, you know, for people who have a $1 billion, $1 trillion in the Rothschilds case, there is only one goal for someone like that if they are Machiavellian in their interest, and that is more power. See, they're people who lust for things such as power are never satiated. For them, power is the ultimate is the ultimate aphrodisiac. It's the ultimate thing. You can find this in many different Wall Streeters. You can find it in people who seek out powerful positions in governments around the world. It's as old as mankind wanting to become drunk with power. And the opportunity for a whole group of individuals under the umbrella of Zionism and the auspices of a corrupted religion, such as a part of the Jewish community, it's about taking over for the last time. I mean, this is about world domination on behalf of their own type, their own kind.
I think that's the crux of the issue. It's a form of racism.
It certainly is racism. You're absolutely positively right. And I'll tell you something else. Their useful idiots can only rise up so far in their hierarchy. And that's how you know it's racism.
I think people need to understand that the Judaic prophecies themselves call for horrific events against Gentiles, and that this racism has a genocidal basis behind it that needs to be looked at in a serious way.
I think you're right. If you take a look at the Zohar, and you take a look at the Noahide, and you take a look at the different elements to the Torahs, some certain Torahs, you will find that these people adhere to some of the more bizarre and arcane and maybe even sick parts of what is written. And I think oftentimes it's a sick interpretation more than anything else. I mean, some of the things that are in there are certainly interpretive, and they interpret it in the most negative of lights. And here's the thing. I have scores and scores of Jewish friends. This is not the kind of people they are. This is not what they believe. This is not what Rabbi Weiss believes, who by the way, will be on tomorrow with me. These people believe, Rabbi Weiss told me straight up, the only way that God will accept him into his kingdom is if he is a righteous man. And the less righteousness he displays, the less likely he is going to have salvation. He said, this is part of my belief system. It's part of the way I live. He said, I'm supposed to live in harmony in the environment, in the countries I live in. And, you know, you look at the history of the Hasidic Jewish community, they have always lived in harmony with the countries they're from. In fact, before the Balfour documents were signed, the Jews were living around the world in harmony throughout the Middle East. They had enclaves in Morocco and in Algeria and throughout and even in Iraq. And then when that Balfour document was signed and they so brutally destroyed the relationship with the Palestinians, it was all bets were off then. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris, I hope that is close to an answer for you.
May I comment when you return from the break?
Yes, we'll hold you right over. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and it's great to have my guest Eric Hufschmidt here with me today. We are discussing deception, and we had a question, Kim, from Chicago, from Chris. Chris, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. There's a couple things I'd like to comment about. The Balfour Declaration was given by England at a time when they had no control over Palestine.
And well, that's right. They actually promised to affect a control over Palestine on behalf of these people if Wilson were to commit troops coming in from the United States. And so Wilson did just that at the behest of the Zionist leadership in the United States, and thereby Britain said okay. And when the war was won, Britain then went and took control of Palestine.
Well, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis had Wilson under blackmail because of an affair he had had with Mrs. Peck.
That's exactly right. $40,000 payoff or something went to her, didn't it?
Yes, I think it was paid off by Untermyer, if I'm not mistaken.
There we go. And then have you listened to the Benjamin Friedman, the download?
I sure have. And I think there's another one you may not be aware of, another speech he gave where he details everything about that transaction.
Can you get that to me?
I certainly will.
Thank you very much, Chris. You know, this is a big battle we're fighting. And we are just two guys with two computers, And boy, you know something, it's hard work, but I gotta tell you, I get a lot of quality people listening to this programming, and I value every one of you with more than you will ever know. Thank you so much for being a listener.
Thank you for your efforts, which are monumental and very, very important. If
Thanks.
I may, one more comment.
Go ahead.
The reason that the Balfour Declaration and the Palestine Mandate, which followed, were not successful was because most Jews did oppose Zionism and were assimilating into friendly Gentile communities, which
That's
is
right.
why the Zionists turned up the heat on them with Adolf Hitler in order to force them.
Exactly right.
To go to
and in fact, what they did was Warburg and several others, including the Harriman fortune out of New York, at the behest of Rothschild, financed Hitler's growth.
And the Rothschilds were involved in the 1800s in several events to bring this about. They tried to destroy the Catholic Church by running the Pope into debts, and in the Kulturkampf in Germany to create a rift between the Catholics and the Protestants. They tried to bankrupt the Sultan of Turkey so that they could destroy the Ottoman Empire and take over Palestine. They had Napoleon as a Zionist trying to take over Palestine, but they turned on Napoleon for the very same reason that as Napoleon emancipated the Jews of Europe began to assimilate. And the real problem they face is that they are racist and they don't want Jews to integrate into the rest of society. And they have a racist view of what they call Esau, which is Jacob's brother, which is the race of Gentiles, which they're out to destroy. And it sounds crazy, but it's really true.
It's madness, isn't it? It's madness in the extreme. And the fact is that these folks were not even, their origins, the Khazars, were not even originally Jewish.
And there never were Israelites in Egypt. The whole thing was fabricated by Judeans. The other tribes didn't really exist. And they were called on it by the Greeks and Egyptians at the time of the Caesars. The
That's
Greeks
right.
resented them as plagiarists and fabricators who had created what they viewed as a very ugly religion of genocide and hatred. And if you read Josephus against Apion, you can see that they were accused of it, that there was no historical record of their ever being in Egypt, that Herodotus never mentioned them in his histories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the whole religion is based on the monotheism of a certain Egyptian that moved into Judea, and they adopted the practice of circumcision and all of that from Egyptian proselytes.
Well, I need more reading. You've got more knowledge than I do on that particular part of it, and I'd be grateful if you sent me some of that.
I certainly will. Sigmund Freud wrote a book about it, interestingly enough. Okay, well, I'll let you go, and I thank you very much for all your efforts. And
well, thank you very much,
Chris. I hope to do what I can.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Well, what do you think of that, Eric?
Well, yeah, I know. And see, the other thing you have to look at is all of these attacks during the past century. How many Israelis or even Jews die in them? You know, 9/11, the USS Liberty, Oklahoma City, and even if you go to World War I and World War II, and you're told 6 million Jews died during World War II, you don't see any evidence of that.
Well, you don't see a lot of evidence of a lot of this stuff, and many of these questions are being raised right now across the world. And in fact, you're not even permitted to prove these facts.
Right, and see what just occurred to me when I was talking about this with someone else is you remember in 1990 about the story about the incubator babies being thrown out of the incubators. Remember that?
Yes.
We were told, oh, these terrible Iraqis, they're going into the incubators in Kuwait and throwing babies out and killing them. And you have to ask yourself, how many babies? How many? Am I allowed to ask that question, or am I an incubator baby denier? And there's some people saying zero babies were thrown out. Are they incubator baby deniers? Should they be put into jail?
That's what they're trying to do with Zundel, Irving, and Gerd Rudolph, isn't it?
Yeah, but this should be a sign. You have to think about this. Or someone says to you, how many Vietnamese died in the war, in the Vietnam War? Imagine the police coming over and arresting them for being a Vietnam War denier. This should right there be a flag to people. There's something wrong here. You know, what difference does it make if people argue with to discuss the issues? There's a difference between slander and discussions. There is nothing wrong with discussing the evidence, analyzing photos and news reports, and asking the question, what really happened in World War II?
Well, on the French Connection, I don't mind discussing any issues. What I will not accept on this programming is to paint the broad brush of all Jews being part of it. Because, simply put, that would be a misstatement, in my view. How do I know that? Because I've got too many friends and too many people in my life and too many people I'm working with and I know closely who are not involved. They are Jewish. And so it's a bold-faced lie to make that broad-based statement, and that is in something that I would not permit on my programming because I believe that's racist.
Well, right, you're right. You can't. It's like saying every Republican or everyone in the Bush administration is involved in 9/11. But you have to imagine if the Bush administration came down on us as being anti-American and started arresting us for questioning 9/11. This is where you have to tell people it's okay to question these official stories. There's nothing wrong with it. And it should be a sign to people that they are trying to hide something. When they try to stop you from looking into an issue, there is no reason to stop a person from looking into something that's honest and truthful. And
well, that's right. I mean, what you do is you shine a light on the dark corner, and if it's truth, the light will show it as truth, and if it's a lie, the light will show it as a lie. Shine the light on. And see, but here's what they'll do. They'll take that statement from me, and they'll try to say that I'm an anti-Semite, and they'll try to say that I'm a hate monger. I'm neither of those things, and I've never been. I'm in fact, I've stood up against people who've made racist statements more than once on the radio, but certainly in my lifetime. And I resent anybody even making that kind of claim against me because it's patently a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we've got a nice long segment with Eric Hufschmidt, and I've got to find out why my dogs are all barking. So, when we come back. Gentlemen, we're back to the great sounds of Miles Davis and more of my partner here, Eric Hufschmidt. Eric, I enjoy having you on because you know you have a visceral knowledge of how all this deceptive stuff works. But let's go on to some of the other deceptions that we have to face here. I mean, you know, this is a battle, it's a war, and the most important part of this battle is one. Divining what facts we can divine, and then two, presenting them, but then finally on a third point, stopping the people who want to stop us from our truth. And those, I think, are the three main thrusts of our efforts. And you want to talk on that and maybe give us a few more examples and some more evidence of deception within the internet and just.
Well, sure. And one of the things that surprises me is a lot of these people apparently are just ordinary American citizens. And why they're doing it is I just cannot understand. The people out of the San Francisco area, the ones that, you know, that create the deception dollar also have a DVD that's called Behind Every Terrorist, There Is a Bush. And they're trying to imply that Bush has been in control of Hitler, of Saddam Hussein, and Osama. I mean, if you listen to these people, you would think Bush is like in the comic books. He is the master of the world. He is the evil force on the world. These people are actually deceiving the American public, and they claim to be truth seekers. They claim to be helping us, and yet you look at all the people they promote. You look at the theories they promote. They, like at their meetings, they'll promote Mike Rupert, Jim Hoffman, who talks about how possibly Maser weapons took the towers down. He's since changed that because nobody really bought it. But then you have Paul Thompson telling us the Pakistanis had a significant role. Webster Tarpley will try to tell you it's all Bush and Cheney. Daniel Hopsiger believes it's the Arabs flying airplanes into the towers that brought the towers down. It's the same thing over and over with these people. They're liars, and they're Americans, and people are supporting them.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, how are we going to take care of this country when so many of our own citizens are doing this? Who are these people working for? And what do they think they're accomplishing? And the deception is, it's wild. They even call their dollar the deception dollar, as if, what is this, to be funny? Because who are they deceiving? They're not deceiving Osama with this thing. They're deceiving the American people.
Well, you know, some of the other people we've put on our list, by the way, we have a guillotine list, and we had to actually put up that it was a figurative guillotining. Not to mention the guillotine hasn't existed for a long time, and the Americans have never used one. But we were using it as a metaphor for the people, how we're going to have to fight back. But people are so no-minded that we had to put a disclaimer on this, didn't we, Eric?
Oh yeah, some people are upset. Oh, you're suggesting we guillotine people? Like, come on! I mean, if this attack really does come out someday, there will be real trials. And the execution method would probably be more modern, like, I don't know what, gas.
Well, I'd rather do it the old way, put them on a rack or something and stretch them out or something. Yeah.
I know, I mean, this is stupid to be worrying about that guillotine. It's just, like you said, a figure of speech. The French, because you got the French connection, and the French were the ones that did it in the French Revolution. So it's sort of, you know, it fits. But it's, people need to be taking this seriously. I mean, it's their world, too, that they're living in. They have to look around themselves and ask themselves, what are they living for? Just to drive through traffic jams to get to some stupid, worthless job and then drive back home and sit in a TV set? I mean, this is a serious problem we have here. We have to be deciding, what will our future be? What are we going to do with the remainder of our lives? Are we just going to let this nonsense go on, sitting in front of TV sets while the world around us deteriorates and we're splattering the place with uranium and toxic waste and everything's just falling apart, the kids are becoming worse and worse? People need to be serious with this stuff.
Well, it's as serious as anything's ever been in history. The fact is, the information is getting out slowly. But the painful part for me, Eric, is this: the actions that we need people to take are almost non-existent for the most part. I mean, we do have our followers. We have our 10 or 15,000 regulars. But in the larger scheme of things, 10 or 15,000 people are not enough. It's not the 2 or 3% of the public we need to really affect the kinds of changes that are necessary. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if we get in control, I am going to eradicate all debts, public and private, the first day we take control. All debts, public and private. That means no Federal Reserve existence. All debts in public and private are immediately eradicated, and we go back to the gold standard. But that's just my take on these things. We've got other ideas, but, you know, these kinds of problems that we face, Eric, are never going to get solved until we can get rid of the deceivers.
That's right. But we do need to be talking about what will we be doing, because that's what we need to do. We need to go beyond this talking about 9/11. We've talked about it enough. We have so much evidence that it's a scam. Plus so many other scams. We've got enough. We need to start getting the word out to people, and people have to stop thinking that these truth groups are going to do it or that the alternative media will do it. The alternative media is just an alternative way for them to deceive. It's actually up to the individual citizens to get out information. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's up to the people to talk to their relatives, their friends, and their neighbors, and spread this stuff. Forget the message boards, too. I would tell them, you know, look at these message boards. They're worthless. You know,
I've actually made a few good contacts on the message board.
Yeah, a few. That's good for a few people. But, you know, the best way is personal contact. Send the IamTheWitness.com, the huge question site. Contact your friends and relatives directly, repeatedly.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we got more on the French Connection. Back, ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith, French Connection. We are live and direct from Central France and from California with my guest Eric Hufschmidt and my webmaster and partner in this battle against these criminals who are trying to kill our way of life. trying to kill. They've already killed it. We're trying to get it back is what we're trying to do here. Eric, you know what? You got any bold statements to make right now? How about something, you know, or a little bit further beyond the bend here? You got anything powerful to share right now?
Something provocative?
Something a little provocative, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just noticed that the Jewish Defense Organization put out a message on their website that you've got to look at this. It could be a sign that we're getting somewhere, because it says, it's got an article. It says things like, "Those who hate Israel indeed hate Jews." See, this is two other Jews. This is the message, two other Jews. It says it's an open message to any Jews active in, and then they list what they call anti-Zionist groups. And they're saying that if you oppose the state of Israel, you're hating Jews.
Well, I'm calling for us to go to war with them, because they killed all our sailors on the USS Liberty. That was an act of war.
If you want provocative, I'll go farther then. I'll say, if you look at World War I, World War II, they are part of the reason millions and millions of people have been slaughtering themselves in order to create Israel. And in order to, some of them are just profiting from it. Perhaps the Rothschilds could care less about Israel. All they're thinking of is money. But, I mean, if you look at these world wars and you look closely at these Holocausts, you can see why there are laws against questioning it. And people have to start waking up. And what are they? Babies or adults? Look at it. Look at history and stop being afraid. Stop being afraid to question this. This is absolute insanity. I mean, it's like I'm ashamed of my Americans. Are these people Americans, or are they the wretched refuse of Europe? Face it. Look at history. If something is wrong, what is wrong? You know, bring it out. If somebody's making an inaccurate statement, then explain what's wrong here. But it's like asking what's wrong, how many incubator babies were thrown out. There's nothing wrong with this. And so the American people really need to ask themselves, what is their problem? How can they let their nation turn into this mess that we've got? How can they destroy it like this?
Well, we've charged on our website that the Simon Wiesenthal Center should be charged with anti-Goyism, and I think that's true.
Yeah, and now they want, like, January to be the Holocaust month. I mean,
how about February being Save the Goy month?
Right, or how about the Holocaust of the Goy month? I mean, look at the Holocaust of the Goys during all these world wars and the slaughters in Russia. And then you got the slaughter in, look at what Katrina, New Orleans, you got the World Trade Center blowing up. And take a look, someone else just died from the so-called dust from the World Trade Center. They're admitting now in the news that it was the dust. You know, that wasn't dust, it was demolition debris. The people in New York, a lot of them are suffering permanent health damage. Some are going to die because of it. Some are just going to be suffering. What is their problem to just put up with this day after day, year after year?
Well, it makes me feel ashamed, and I don't mean that for my listeners, because I know you're working hard. Ladies and gentlemen, go out there and recruit another person. Bring them to this programming and tell them this is the fight. This is the way to fight it, and this is how we win. You know the battle. You know the rules. You go out and do it. The French Connection does it every day with Eric Hupschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith. Thank you for all for listening. Rabbi Weiss tomorrow. Rabbi Weiss.